April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
That's right, it is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app has you covered. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer coming to you from the beautiful sportsbook at Parks Casino. A big day here today, well, Elliot Shore Parks. It is Kentucky Derby Day, my friend.
Yeah, so it's always fun to be here, but there are certain days where you walk into the casino and you can just feel the excitement. And I will say with the Kentucky Derby, like, you can definitely tell people are very excited about
this. Yeah, yeah, there's a vibe here. It's awesome. And you can come out and hang out to the racetrack and casino here at Parks are electric today with the big derby party at the track and the sportsbook. Inside the casino, it's teeming with energy. It's a huge sports day. And the racetrack right here, also at Malvern Race and Sportsbook, inside Chickies and Pete's, are perfect to take your wager on the Kentucky Derby today. And it is a big day for betting, and a big day for action.
And the other nice thing is, as somebody that's afraid of weather, it certainly is a nice day to get inside somewhere where you cannot tell it's been horrifically disgusting out for like 24 hours.
You are damn straight about that.
Exactly
It is not pretty outside.
It is disgusting out.
Very happy to be inside the beautiful.
It looks nicer at the Kentucky Derby, though. I saw it had one of the screens here.
Yeah, it looks good at the Kentucky Derby.
Do you think?
No mutters out there today, you know?
Do you think if they put you on the best horse, you could win the race?
No.
Of course not.
Would it? Because you need to know.
All you have to do is ride it.
No, it's not like that simple. You just get on a racehorse and
just decide when to tell it to
along.
Go at the end.
Like,
yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
I think you could do it. I believe in you.
I know that I could not.
You're a light guy.
I know that I could not.
Okay.
Have you even, like, ridden a horse before?
Yeah, I've been to the zoo. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
All right, there's our show today. Could Elliot win the Kentucky Derby on the best horse? 215-592-9494. I say no.
Yeah, I'm on this diet for a reason. I'll be late on the horse.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. What a way to start the show. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot, let's get into it. We're a week out from the draft. Last week we were here as the draft was happening, as picks were being
made.
You
were yelling N'Kobe Dean's name.
N'Kobe Dean's name to all the beautiful people here at Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Where you at a week later, where you at with this team? Kind of look, I'm sure there are still some moves to be made. I think second corner safety, we know the spots, but for the most part, the team that we see is going to be the team we head into training camp and then the season with. Where you at with the Eagles right now?
So during the draft, while it was happening, I started to feel this way about the team, but now that, the draft's a week away, I had a chance this week to go down to the NovaCare and, you know, talk to the rookies. We saw them practice briefly. And it really kind of just cemented how I feel and what the draft made me feel is that, like, it completely changed things for me. It completely changed my outlook of the team. I think it completely changed the expectations. you know, this offseason we've talked quite a bit, and there were a lot of times this offseason where I was really down on the team.
I know.
Wasn't impressed by what they were doing. You know, privately I was saying I thought they could finish last in the division. Mm-hmm. I'll now say that publicly now that I don't actually have to pick it. But I was really worried about where this team was at. I thought the offense was really going to struggle this year. I didn't see any difference-making moves. And, man, I got to tell you, like, A.J. Brown, Nakobe Dean, Jordan Davis, irrational or not, it completely changed the way it completely changed the way I view this team. Now I look at the roster and I go, they're considerably better than when they left the field in Tampa. I think the Hassan Reddick addition is a very good one. I've always said that. I think he's going to be a good pass rusher for them, back-to-back double-digit seasons. I know the Fletcher Cox move isn't popular, but if you look at their defensive line, they're deeper than they were last year, and they're better than they were last year. The Jordan Davis move, at the very least, he's a very good player. I think that's going to help the defensive line. Nakobe Dean, I do think, is going to come in and be a difference maker. But for me, the biggest thing is the A.J. Brown trade completely changes the entire complexion of the offense. When I look at what they're going to be, I do believe they can be a pass-first offense this year now. And with that, that's all it took for me. I just needed to believe they could pass the ball. When I watched them play last year, they ran the ball. They were a defensive team. You know, thankfully, Gannon had a good year, and they were able to, you know, help him get to the playoffs. But ultimately, my kind of lack of belief in them as a serious contender came from the fact that when they had to pass the ball, I didn't believe they'd be able to do it. And now with A.J. Brown here, I do believe they're going to be able to pass the ball. I do buy into the fact that Jalen's going to have the weapons around him to make this team better. And I honestly think even just talking to Jalen this week at the NovaCare, just a second year in the offense is going to be so big for him. So, you know, it was one weekend, but it was a huge weekend. The draft is one of the biggest offseason events of the year. And to how I felt before and after, like before, I thought they probably weren't a playoff team. Now, I think with the roster they have, they should be expected not just to make the playoffs, they should be expected to win a playoff game. Like, I think they have, first of all, they have the playoff experience from last year, and now they have the talent to go out and do it. So my expectations have completely changed, and I think they should for fans as well. I think Howie's had a great offseason, and the draft just kind of cemented how much better this roster is than it was when we saw them get embarrassed down in Tampa.
Yeah, look, it's kind of funny because anyone who listened to the show last year, really the last year and a half or whatever, has heard the opposite dynamic where you were all in on the team and I was the naysayer. And we've kind of flipped for the last couple months or so where I actually thought they were going to be a playoff team before the draft. I pointing to year two in the Sirianni offense, year two in the Gannon defense, year two as a starter for Hurts being able to take those steps forward. A lot of the younger guys on offense, year two for Devontae Smith. So I was already kind of bullish. And then I think the biggest thing, and it was a big thing last year, but hey, guess what? It's going to be a big thing again this year. The schedule's super easy.
I know.
And it comes out on Thursday night, but the opponents they play, especially the breakdown of the home versus road opponents, I mean, it might be easier than this past season.
So this week we went through and we looked, and I think there's really only, you know, maybe two or three teams on the entire schedule where you would look and go, they're definitely better than the Eagles. I think it's the Packers just because of Aaron Rodgers. They certainly, obviously, losing Devontae Adams, who knows how they'll look, but I think they're definitely a better team. You know, the Cowboys are interesting because the Cowboys absolutely demolish the Eagles every time they play them. So it's tough for me to sit here and say that the Eagles are better than the Cowboys. But it would not surprise me if the Eagles won more game than the Cowboys did next year.
I think the Eagles have had a better offseason.
Yeah, I think head to head, they just really struggle with Dallas. But in terms of an entire season, I think the Eagles could be better. You know, the Colts, maybe. We'll see how Matt Ryan does. But outside of that, you're looking at the Jaguars, the Texans, the Lions, the Giants twice. Like, lots of teams that, I mean, how many of these were in the top 10? Like, 8 or 9 of them that they mm-hmm. play next year? So there's going to be, you know, we spent all last year kind of saying, are the Eagles good? Are they not good? And the schedule was a big deal. Well, hope you like that conversation, because if you look at next year, there's going to be a lot of weeks where they face teams and the people go, well, this team's bad, so it didn't really matter. There's a lot of those teams on their schedule.
Yeah, and for that reason alone, I was already a little more bullish about what this team could do this season than other people were. And the A.J. Brown move supercharges it. I mean, Nakobe Dean helps. Jordan Davis helps. I think those are both rookies who have a chance to, you know, something you were calling for, guys who contribute right away. Like, you need Jordan Davis to turn into the type of player we want him to long-term to really be worth the move they made for him. But right away, Jordan Davis will contribute. Like, just with his size and athleticism alone and the position he plays, like, he will be a valuable player for you on first and second down. Nakobe Dean is someone with his instincts, with his football understanding, with the way he plays, can come in and make plays for you right away. And then, to your point, I mean, I don't know if they could have brought a player in, obviously, you know, another wide receiver of that ilk, you know, sure. But other than an A.J. Brown type of guy who could have changed the complexion of the offense for us in such a massive way. It's changed everything about how we, like, we went from saying, like, oh, they're not going to be able to throw the ball, to saying it might be, like, the best group of skill players and offensive line combination we've had certainly since 17, and one of the best we've seen with the Eagles certainly in the last 30 years in terms of if you just take the wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, and the offensive line, and take the quarterback out of it, it doesn't get too much better than what the Eagles have right now.
Yeah, and it just shows, I mean, we argue about Howie a lot, and we talk about, we especially were on different sides about the Saints trade, right, in terms of trading a pick into the future. But I think the A.J. Brown trade was the best trade Howie's ever made because he acquired the best player he's ever acquired. Like, certainly there have been trades where you go, the fact he got anything for Sam Bradford, let alone a first, was
it's a pretty
incredibly impressive.
Yeah, the Carson Wentz trade, yeah,
like, don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of good trades. But just in terms of the fact that, like, look how much that's going to help the team, I think it's probably the best trade Howie's ever made. Just
Well, it's hard to argue with getting a first and plus for Sam Bradford, who wasn't going to play for you for too long with Wentz here and all.
But it turned into Derek Barnett.
But that's how it rolls. You got to judge
a trade. I get that, but I'm saying.
But I agree. I think the point you made is true in the sense that A.J. Brown is the best player that Howie Roseman has traded for. He's the best player the Eagles have traded for since Jason Peters, and Peters wasn't quite that level yet when they traded for him. You know, he had the potential to be. It's the one thing that we looked at this offense and said, that is the biggest weakness with this offense right now. I feel great about the offense. I mean, you know, the Hurts thing is the separate issue. Like, the Hurts thing is a question, but just in terms of outside the quarterback, the offensive line, best in football. Tight end, top 5 to 7 guy in the sport. Devontae Smith, we love him. Going to be a stud. You know, everything around that, everything's good. The running back's good enough. But that spot, that lead dog at wide receiver, that extra weapon for this team makes such a massive difference.
Well, I think that's the next step of it for me. So my expectations change in terms of what I think they have to do to have a successful year, what would constitute a successful year, all those things. Here's the other part of it. I think for Jalen Hurts to be the quarterback in 2023, he has to win a playoff game. Like, for him to be back.
They could lose a playoff game like the Josh Allen game. It's not his fault, you know, whatever. Like,
well, but you could come up with exceptions to everything.
Right.
But, like,
I mean, but I think ultimately, you can make a grandiose statement like that because he could be awesome and they could play really well in a playoff game and lose because the defense sucks.
That could happen. But ultimately, I think for me to say in 2023, Jalen should definitely be the guy. Like, last year we were having this discussion. I said for Jalen to be the guy, they probably had to make the playoffs, right? Fair or not, they probably had to do it. And he did it. And let's be honest, he survived being the guy, like, kind of by the skin of his teeth, right? Like, he's the guy, but it's because they couldn't get other guys. Now, those other guys were very good players.
Right.
But what we all just talked about, right? How good the offense is, how much better they've become, how these, like, if they don't win a playoff
game.
See,
this is a silly statement.
I don't think it is.
All right, well, what about if they're like Lamar Jackson when he had his MVP year and they go 14-2 and they lose in they get a bye, but they lose in the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
Would you count that as winning a playoff game because they got a bye?
That's a different discussion.
But that's my point is I don't think you could say he has to win a playoff game. I think we need to see Jalen Hurts lead this team to the point where we believe they can win a playoff game.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If they, like, you need to see Jalen lead this team into the playoffs and, in my opinion, win a playoff game, because if they get to the playoffs and they're favorites, right? Like, let's say they're at home and they're favorites and they've had that type of year. Like, Jalen's already played in a playoff game, right?
He's awesome and they lose? Josh Allen was awesome and they lost.
But you're talking about one of the best playoff games maybe ever, right?
So, like, yes, if it's that. My point is that I don't think you make the grandiose statement of saying he has to win a playoff game to be back in 2023.
But if you look at the fact that they have 2 first-round picks, it's going to be a much stronger quarterback draft. Like, I think from Jalen's perspective, like, whatever we might think about it, and this is how I feel, but also I think when you look at the Eagles – like, the Eagles are not going to just, you know, pass over quarterbacks again in the draft.
If he goes 13-4 and they get the 3 seed because they're 2 really good teams or whatever, they get the 2 seed, so they have to be in the first round of the playoffs, and they lose a game 40-35, like, you're not moving on from Hurts.
Yeah, but you keep saying this example where, like, he plays amazing and they lose. Because it could happen. I'm not
saying that. Of course it could.
But like, more realistically, if they lose the playoff game, it's probably going to be because of quarterback struggles. Like, how many, outside of Josh Allen, very often the team that loses is because, like, the quarterback didn't play well.
It happens all the time. There are many different ways to lose
like
a football
game. Like
your
Lamar Jackson example, they stuck with Lamar Jackson.
There are many
different gateways to lose a football game, my friend. There are. Trust me, we've seen a lot of them over the years. But, like, when you talk about Lamar Jackson, they were sticking with him no matter what, pretty much, right? Like, he was the guy. Like, he was their franchise.
Right. I'm not saying that's the case with that specific example. I'm saying if that example happened with the Eagles, would you say they have to move on from Jalen? I'm just trying to point out the holes in your argument that he has to win a playoff
game. No, I get that. I get that. But I think the hole you're pointing to has a small percentage of happening. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Josh Allen has been amazing for 2 years, really good this year, lost one of the all-time playoff games on the road to the best quarterback.
I'm just saying, that's the first example you brought up. Say he has to win a playoff game to keep his job in 2023 because that's silly.
That's not true. If they go to the playoffs and lose, do you think he's definitely back in 2023?
It depends on how they lose.
I know. I get it depends.
If they're awesome offensively, then yeah, I think he's back.
Okay, but maybe. But I think when you look at the roster, the talent they have on the roster, especially now at the receiver position, the offensive line, the weapons they have, like, if they're bad offensively, let's be real,
it's going to be because of Jalen. But I'm saying they could be good offensively and still not win a playoff game.
But I think he has to win one to lock down the job for 2023.
Even if he's awesome offensively and it's not his fault they lose, that's silly.
But that's not what I said. I didn't say if he's awesome offensively.
You said if he loses a game.
But I think if he's awesome, they'll win. That's my point.
But what if they don't? We've seen playoff games where they don't. But you can't keep pointing
to an example where, like...
I think the point is we need to see Jalen Hurts be better. We need to see him improve. We need to see the passing game improve.
But being better is advancing further than they did last year.
But what if it's not his fault, man? Like, what do you want him to do? Then we'll discuss that nuanced example when that happens. You can't just say he has to win a playoff game or he won't be back in 2023. That's silly.
Do you think he's back in 2023 if he doesn't win a playoff game? If he's awesome in the playoff game, yes, I do. What would you say the chances are?
Like, I don't know.
If they win a playoff game, I can tell you he's 100% back.
Yeah, it's all dependent on how that all shakes out. Like,
I know,
it's just a
but we can go down different examples.
I think you're saying things that sound silly to say, though.
But last year, I said he had to make the playoffs to get the job back, and that's what happened, right?
There's a big difference between making the playoffs and having success over the course of a season and then a one-game playoff where things can happen. Your defense can suck for a day. The other quarterback can out-duel you for a day. Like, your other players could play poorly. Like, there's so many things that can happen in any given Sunday type of situation. I just think that's why I think they need to be better. They need to win 11, 12 games. They need to go into the playoffs. Look, yeah, they were horrible in the playoffs this last year, but, like, we expected them to be horrible. No one expected, or most people did not expect them to go into Tampa Bay and actually beat the Bucs or even really fight the Bucs hard. Now, it was worse. It was a worst-case outcome with the way they played and how bad Jalen was, and it was the worst possible way it could have gone for how we felt about Jalen and the team afterwards. But that doesn't mean that they can't go into the playoffs this year and us feel much better about their opportunities and still feel good about them if they lose.
And, yeah, that is one possibility. But there's also the other possibility of they're better this year, they make the playoffs, and then they look the same when they get to the playoffs. So, like,
I think that's not something.
But I think, like, when you talk about taking steps forward and you talk about, like, seeing improvement, it has to be with winning in the playoffs. Like, they can't get to the playoffs. And you're right. There could be a world where Jalen. Because that's who it's on. Like, bottom line, there's a reason Jalen's competing for $40 million. There's a reason you've said no play.
Like, football's a one-person game. It's not Jalen Hurts going out and playing the game by himself.
Well, there's only one position that has a win-loss record. But you have said yourself that you think he is the player in the NFL that might have the most pressure.
I do think that. So this is what that looks like.
But
again, you make it so specific where you say he has to win a playoff game like he doesn't.
But I don't think that's that specific. I think you're using a specific example of saying they could lose it this way. I'm saying they were in the playoffs last year.
It's about game one through the playoffs, and I'm taking all that into account. And if he's awesome for 17 games and they have one of the better offenses in football and he plays great, I don't think that if they lose in the playoffs, especially if he plays well in that game, it means that he won't keep the job.
And I think in that specific example, you're right. He might be back. But what I'm saying is the way for where I know he'll be back and I know he'll be the guy in 2023 and I know he'll get that contract, win a playoff game. Like, that's the way to make it happen.
215-592-9494. What are your expectations with this Eagles team a week out from the draft? With the roster, for the most part, set and ready to head into the season. Obviously, there'll be some more moves, some adding of guys, a second cornerback, potentially a safety. But
James
crux
Bradbury.
Of the team is there. Where are you at with the Philadelphia Eagles? 215-592-9494. No Tom from Abington today, so let's start out where we do every Saturday when we can with No Tom with our other Tom.
Yes.
Let's go to Vancouver and talk to our buddy Tom. You're Tom.
Hello, gentlemen.
What's going on, Tom? So, I got to be honest, we might have to start saying where we lead off pretty much every other Sunday with Tom.
Oh, wow, that
Vancouver.
Was a shot at Tom.
Oh,
yeah,
no, Tom. Let's not.
You got to earn that intro. Tom Vancouver comes every week.
Well, Tom from Abington tries his best.
No, Tom is great. I'm kidding.
He's so phenomenal when he's on.
He is.
So shout out to Tom. Okay, guys, man, I love it. I love the heat that you're bringing. Love talking about the QB. Before I get into it, I have two quick things to say about Philly sports in general. Joe Girardi, I'm done.
Yep, I agree.
The Sixers, Embiid is so tough. I'm so impressed with that guy.
What a warrior.
And I believe that there might be an elite three-point shooter still on that Sixers team. What do you say, Elliot?
Tell me, Tom. I saw him last
night. Tom, is this called Go Birds Radio or Go Sixers Radio?
I saw him carrying the team in the third quarter.
All right, Tom, what are we doing here?
Let's get into the Birds. Okay, Jordan. Yeah, with a little bit of reprieve. Jordan Davis, I'm still a bit concerned. AJ Brown, phenomenal pick. He's like a polished Trevon Burks. I put that as a note because I know you guys didn't like it.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What'd you say, Tom? You went in and out.
Well, I know you guys didn't like my comments about Trevon Burks before the draft, but I do think he's like what some people, the optimists, will project him to be. And
I think the difference is he's played on the outside, whereas Treylon Burks was on the inside. But you're right that there's a reason.
There's a lot of comps.
There's a reason the Titans traded AJ Brown and drafted Treylon Burks. Yep. Like, there are similarities.
Okay, N'Kobe Dean, I'm still a little bit concerned. I'm actually a little bit more concerned because I love that pick. That was the most exciting pick there was. But the other injuries, not just the main injury, but the other injuries do have me a little bit concerned. I am excited, though, by the thought that he could play, even though he's not a safety, he could play a little bit of that Malcolm Jenkins role in the way that he does seem to blitz a lot. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, actually, I do disagree. I mean, now you're right that he can line up in the front seven and blitz like Malcolm did, but I actually think that was more Malcolm playing a linebacker role. Like, I don't think N'Kobe can do a lot of the things that Malcolm did. I don't think he has good sideline-to-sideline speed, but I don't think he's quick enough in coverage, in my opinion, to, like, do the things Malcolm did.
Malcolm was a cornerback.
Well, yeah, Malcolm was a corner and a safety. So you're right that N'Kobe can blitz for sure, but I think Malcolm is, I don't think he can do what Malcolm did, no.
Okay, I got two quick substantive things. One is I'd like to hear at some point on your show talk about Carson Strong, because that guy seems to be an air raid guy. He seems to be a pocket passer. He's got a great arm. He seems to be a lot of what the Eagles like, even though he was an undrafted free agent.
Okay, so Elliot Shore Park scouting report on Carson Strong.
I have a franchise swag rating on him, too, because I met him at the combine.
Okay. I'll let you guys talk about that later, though, and with other callers, so that's cool.
Yes.
But the last thing I want to hear about you guys is, what's your concern level about the front office, man? I'm concerned about that. I'm really concerned about it. Seems like it could be a mess.
Yeah, Tom, great call. And it is an interesting thing that's going on for the front office. All right, so we'll get to that next. The Carson Strong thing and the front office thing. So for those who don't know, Andy Weidel's brother, Casey Weidel, was fired this week. There's been a lot of shakeup in the front office.
They've lost like nine guys.
Yeah, obviously prior to the draft, they lost, some to the Giants, some to the
Brandon Brown,
Bills,
Ian Cunningham.
Another one. So all over. So they've lost a lot of guys. We'll get Elliot's take on that, because Elliot, has a lot of knowledge of that front office, a lot more than we do covering the team. So we'll find out about that, Carson Strong. And your calls as well, 215-592-9494. What are your expectations for this Eagles team right now? And to the thing Elliot and I were getting into it about, is it fair to say Jalen Hurts has to win a playoff game this year to cement his career in Philadelphia moving forward? 215-592-9494. It's Elliot, it's James. It's Go Birds Radio from the beautiful Sportsbook at Parks Casino. And let me tell you about the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It has you covered for betting on everything: baseball, golfs, pro hoops, hockey. And whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you could do it all with an amazing offer. New customers make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just download the all-new Bet Parks app right now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com. It's the only sportsbook and casino app that we here at Go Birds recommend, the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony. Right in your pocket. Sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app with live in-game betting, bet more than the score. You can bet on individual player performances. You can check out the Bet Parks future bets and wager on projected league champions, MVP, rookie of the year, division champs. And more than anything, there's so much sports action going on right now. We're watching it anyway. We're all sports fans. It's just way more fun when you got a little action on it. It's just a fact, and there's no better way to do it than with the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Here's the deal again. New customers, you get your first bet risk-free up to $750. The website has all the details. Visit pa.betparks.com. That's pa.betparks.com. And use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's G-O-B-I-R-D-S. Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's go time. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app has you covered, and we are live from the beautiful Sportsbook at Parks Casino. The racetrack and casino here at Parks, it's electric today. The big Kentucky Derby party at the track, the Sportsbook inside the casino, all kinds of action down here, and the racetrack as well as going to Malvern Race. And the Sportsbook inside the Chickies and Pete's in Malvern are perfect places where you can wager on the horses today for the Kentucky Derby. Also, Elliot, a massive Kentucky Derby guy.
I was going to say.
I mean, he can tell you every horse, knows every trainer, every jockey. Like, it's pretty wild.
It's one of those things where, even though I am not what you claim, I'm not exactly, you know, the Dick Girardi of Go Birds Radio.
Yes.
But it is one of those things where it's a sporting event that you just want to feel included in.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see it on and you're like, I wish that I was also rooting for
part
this horse to win money. Yeah.
So,
and
with
you know,
you.
I could probably win the race
It's a fun thing.
Yeah.
It's the best 2 minutes in sports, as they said. 215-592-9494. Where do you stand with this Eagles team right now? Expectations for this team after the draft, how the roster is set up. Let's keep it going on the phones. Let's go to Ocean City and talk to our pal Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Greetings
what
from
up,
beautiful Boulder. Greetings from beautiful Boulder, Colorado. It's currently 82 degrees and sunny.
Wow, that sounds a lot nicer than the rain, like all day rain and cold that we've got here. So, thanks,
jealous
Chris.
Of you right now.
Yes. However, that is not the primary, the secondary, nor tertiary motivation for my call today.
You nice use of tertiary.
Yeah.
There.
Well, did you watch N'Kobe Dean's intro press conference?
I did. Did he use that word?
He used tertiary. I didn't even notice that. Wow.
Wow, I missed that.
Good work, N'Kobe.
He was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, he was amazing. They asked him about if his slipping in the draft, you know, impacted his thought process. And he said, you know, it's part of me, but it's not my primary, secondary, or tertiary motivation. But I was just so struck this weekend at the composure and the poise and the professionalism of the draft picks that they selected. And it seems to tie into this larger narrative that's been going on over the past year of really focusing heavily on high-quality, cultural regime-type guys. And so when you think about the strong relationship that Jalen has with Devontae, and then also was an aid in bringing in AJ, and then you listen to young men like Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean speak. I mean, N'Kobe Dean was talking about going back to med school maybe, you know, after he's been playing. He just doesn't know if he wants to do the chemistry. And just how incredible
Chris, that is
to have that leadership in our locker room. Great.
Chris, I think it's an excellent point. It's one I wanted to bring up today. You know, I've been around, I think, like 8 or 9 draft classes now. And I don't think there's been a single one. Look, last year was really impressive, too. But just in terms of listening to all these guys talk, and I think that's one benefit of bringing in guys from large programs. Like, mostly when you meet rookies, they are, and understandably, they're shy, they're nervous. It's the first time they're doing this type of thing. They're coming to a large media market. It can be a lot to, like, take in, right? These guys yesterday, like, Jordan Davis comes, he sits down, he starts it by himself. He's like, I just want to start by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
That's amazing.
N'Kobe Dean gets up there, and, you know, he's talking about how he's an alpha and, like, all these things. Like, I really think they've added a lot of leadership to that locker room. And the other thing is, when you bring up friendship, I was, like, half joking about this when I tweeted about
this is Elliot's thing right
But
here.
In all seriousness, like, friendship wins. Like, when you look at these guys, like, I saw Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean at the game together last night.
Yeah.
Like, Jalen Hurts is at A.J. Brown's daughter's party. Like, these things matter. Like, they really do matter. I mean, Jordan Davis talked about how much better the transition has been because he has a friend to do it with. Like, friendship matters, and I think that the Eagles, not that they're prioritizing it, but the fact that it's happening and they're bringing guys that know each other, I think it's huge.
Absolutely, and I really do think that, you know, I know a lot of people poo-poo the intangibles and all that stuff, but it really is important because these guys, they're just young men, they're human beings.
I think it's huge.
And
Chris,
being happy at work It's just great. And that's why you guys have such a great show, because you have great chemistry.
Amen.
So
Chris,
I'm really looking forward to a great year. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a great
call. Great call as always. I'm a big, not just chemistry guy, but also belief in the intangibles and all that stuff. I've always said it's part of the reason I like Jalen Hurts so much, and why I have been a bigger believer in him than I think other people who talk into microphones are. Because I do think that the above the shoulders matters at that position as much as anything. Like, I think it's just as important as the physical abilities to be able to do the other stuff. And we saw with Carson Wentz, you could have all the physical abilities and talent in the world, but if you don't have that other stuff, it's going to fall apart.
Well, and also, I think intangibles are something that are easy to kind of gloss over and mock until you don't have them. Like, you know, I think it's easy to be like, oh, they're friends, who cares? Until you have a locker room where everyone hates each other. And it's like, well, this is not an ideal situation. So, yeah, I agree that ultimately, like, they have to be talented. With a quarterback, it's different because you do absolutely need those intangibles. Like, you have to have it. And look, Jordan Davis and Nakobe Dean won't succeed simply because they're friends. They're both talented players. They'll have to be talented. But it matters, and I really think Sirianni deserves like a tip of the cap for this, because Sirianni talked about it for a full year, and nationally and somewhat locally, but mostly nationally, like, he was mocked for it. Like, a lot of things he's talked about, he's been mocked for, are now things we're praising that we like in these players.
Yeah.
Like, Nakobe Dean and Jordan Davis, Devontae Smith and Landon Dickerson, those feel like Nick Sirianni picks. Like, if Nick Sirianni was making the picks, I think, outside of the fact that, you know, he might not value the line as much as Howie does, but I think those feel like guys he would pick, and that matters. And now everyone's praising it. And I think it's important to acknowledge that what he said, I think, has, you know, kind of been proven true.
Well, it struck me when Jason Kelce was talking about why he came back, and he was like, I just had fun playing for Nick Sirianni. Like,
well,
I just had a really good time playing for that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, how many times have I brought up 2017? And I think one of the biggest reasons that whole thing happened was because of the culture and the chemistry in that locker room. Like, I think it mattered. I think that's where all that came from, that we all we got, we all we need, the underdog stuff. Like, that was all a group of dudes vibing, man. And,
yeah.
And that matters. Like, that matters in this sport, I think, more than any other.
Well, if you remember, after the intro to Sirianni press conference, and then also after the comment about, you know, planting the seeds and the flower blooming, like, there was a lot of talk from former players who, like John Ritchie, who obviously has been in winning locker rooms and should clearly be listened to about this, about, like, will players respond to this?
Yep.
Like, is that something they'll respond to? And they have. Like, they absolutely have. So you're right. I mean, Jason Kelce saying that, I thought was very noteworthy.
215-592-9494. I had the pleasure during the draft of going to a guy's house.
Oh, is he
How
is
random
he here?
Is that? Super cool.
I got some questions for this guy.
Wins a prize, gets to have me and, far more importantly, Brent Celek out at his house for the draft. And we had the best time, man. Brent Celek, first of all, is an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I had not spent a ton of time with Brent prior. Like, super awesome dude. Was super fun to hang out. Super into the draft. Like, my man was, like, calling picks out, locked in. It was pretty fun. But the best part was – we just had a great time and felt super welcomed. And Rob, the dude whose house it was, said he listens to our show every single week. And it is awesome to talk to my buddy Robin Happer. Rob, how are you, pal?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Sorry I didn't get a chance to call in last week to give the update. But what a great time it was at that party.
Oh,
well,
we had the best time, man.
I need some details, Rob. Like, what was it like to have James over? Was he polite? Was, you know, I mean,
Elliot,
was he having a good time? Like, give me the review of James as a guest at a house party.
I'd be happy to. He was awesome. He was totally into it. He was a lot of fun. He talked with everybody there, all three of my kids, my wife. Brent was amazing. They stayed until, like, almost 11:30. It was a blast.
Well, it's funny, James called me when he left, and I said to him, I was like, wow, you were still there? So he did have a good time. I can say off the record as well, he confirmed it was a lot
of
fun.
Yeah, Rob, it was awesome. You guys were so welcoming. Your kids, also huge fans of the show, huge fans of the pod
very
and all
nice.
That. So it was a thrill, man. We had a great time.
When Elliot, when we got AJ, James, like four times, he just goes, holy, and you know, holy grief. He's in the middle of the kitchen yelling out, holy, and it was amazing.
Because it was so shocking. It really was. I think all Eagles fans will agree. You know, once the draft started, you kind of put out of your head the trade for Debo, trade for DK. And we weren't even talking AJ Brown on top of that. So, Rob, that was like one of those draft moments. Like, even if I weren't at your house, but especially with you and Brent and all that, like, I will just never forget that moment because it was so surprising.
You'll always remember you in Rob's kitchen when you found out that
AJ Brown got traded.
Yep.
You're right.
I can't believe he drove down into the pod that night.
Yeah, we had to.
Well, he was too excited. That's what I'm saying.
Too much action. We got to.
Had to get the
raw. He gave us the pizza, which was very kind. That helped as well. So it worked out well, Robbie. Yeah, it was awesome. We had a great time, man. Thanks for having us.
Well, great talking to you. Take care.
All right, Rob. A pleasure, man. Call again soon. Yeah, it was so much fun, man.
Well, and that's kind of like from what we started off the show talking about. They take Jordan Davis. I'm at the draft party. I'm with Ike Reese, Joe DiCamera, like all the guys are there, but all the fans, right? And there's booing. People are very mad and upset about this. And then, like, 10 minutes later, like, the place is in absolute, like, euphoria going wild because they got A.J. Brown. So it kind of is how, honestly, I felt about this offseason. Like, for a lot of it, I was thinking, like, this isn't going so well. Like, I think they're due for a step back. And then you go and you add a talent like that, and it really makes all the pieces fit much better, too. And it changes how you look at it.
Let's keep it rolling on the phones. Go to Manny. Manny, here on WIP.
Yo, Self, finally, I get through to the Seltzer and ESP.
Yes!
Finally,
Manny, what a pleasure, my friend.
Really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, really appreciate you calling in. Manny Overbrook. Hey, buddy, how you doing? I love it. This is great.
Hey, well, before we start, I just want to say, I'm going to start a petition to get you guys on the radio every day. I can't wait a week.
I appreciate it.
It's like a guy starving in the desert for water, and I got to wait a week for water when I could have it every day.
Oh, you are too kind.
I'm going to tell our boss that analogy. Yeah, right? I don't want anybody
to Kyle Quinn back in the studio. Cut this audio. Send it to Rod Lakin, courtesy of us.
Nope.
Oh, please. Seriously, we need you guys every day. We guys should have your own show. I'm really serious about that.
Thanks, Manny. What's on your mind today, brother?
So if I called the other day during the midday your show, Joe and John show, and I want to give you the same question. Like I said, I'm going to start off with Howie did a great job. Did a great job. But I was a little upset with you and John. You know what I said?
Yeah, I remember.
Say it again. Howie did a great job. It's like, this is my analogy. It's like me where I can't swim. And I get thrown into the deep end. All right? Howie throws me in the deep end. And then finally
and then
I can't swim.
You, right?
All of a sudden he pulls me out of the water.
Yeah.
It goes and saves me. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you for saving me. That's why I feel like this draft was. He did a great job. But I think his past sins put us at this point.
Oh, Manny, and I don't disagree with you. I've said for a long time, I've made the same analogy and the one that a lot of people have made, the if you set a house on fire, then put out the fire, you're still the one who set the house on fire, so you don't get credit for putting out the fire. I'm with that, and I'm not saying I'm fully sold on Howie Roseman moving forward, and I'm all in, and I trust him implicitly, but I do have to say that in terms of after the house was on fire, I have to be honest and say that I like the way he's gone about putting it out, you know, and while I am not, you know, all in, and I will trust him no matter what and whatnot, I do have to be real and say that the man's doing a good job of fixing his mess. And yes, it's his mess, but he got the chance to fix it, and he's doing a good job at it.
But here's the thing, Manny, and I hate to disagree with you after all the nice things you said. The person that really put the house on fire was Carson in a Howie Roseman mask. Like, Carson is the reason this burned down. Carson had a terrible year. Carson
really?
Demanded his way out.
If Sears had nothing to do with it.
If Carson continued to improve throughout his career, it would not have been a burnt down house because they wouldn't have had to trade him. The 2020 season would have gone a lot differently. I'm not saying Howie never made any mistakes. Clearly, he made a lot of mistakes in drafting, contracts he handed out, those type of things. But those are mistakes a lot of GMs make. The thing that happened was the quarterback, the franchise guy that everybody thought was the guy, burnt the house down. Howie's the one that picked it back up.
Right, but I just think we use so much draft capital on because the ineptitudes of not finding a receiver that we could have fixed the defense. Now yes, like I say, great draft, but just like Dallas did, they did one draft and fixed the defense, and that's what I was expecting to happen.
Manny, great call. Call us again more often. And look, I get it. Like I understand. I wanted them to take, you know, five defensive players in the draft too. But the two they got, I'm really excited about. So I mean,
they're probably,
you know,
the top two if you could have picked.
If I put
in,
those were my
James
guys.
Seltzer,
yeah,
put
I'm
his
set, man.
Eagles
like,
defensive
I could
board.
Be happier with it. I get your point. And, Manny, I agree. There is still work to do. This is not a finished roster yet. But as much as, yes, I will criticize Howie for the problems and mistakes he made. And Elliott's right. Carson has a role in that, too. But you know, I think ultimately we're a bottom line podcast. How he is in charge of the organization, he does have to shoulder some of that blame.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think in the end, he's done a really, really nice job the last year, really putting it back together. 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James from the beautiful Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We're coming right back. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, coming to you from the beautiful Sportsbook at the Parks Casino. Kentucky Derby Day here. Come on out, bet on the Derby. The racetrack and casino here at Parks are electric today with the big Kentucky Derby party at the track. And the Sportsbook inside the casino, a big sports day all around the racetrack right here. Or the Malvern Race and Sportsbook inside Chickies and Pete's are perfect places to wager on today's Kentucky Derby. All kinds of action. Of course, you bet on basketball playoffs, baseball.
You bet on the Sixers
hockey
to win
playoffs,
the series, which they're going
all
to
that
do.
Good. Yeah, yeah, look at you, Elliot Sherp Parks.
I've tried to tell you.
215-592-9494. And we're talking Eagles. What are your expectations for this team right now coming out of the draft? Still some moves to be made, but the majority of the roster set for the season. Where are you at? Let's keep it rolling on the phones. Go to North Philly and talk to our buddy Rasheem Yoshim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. All offseason I heard about how the Eagles was, you know, invested in quarterbacks, how, you know, Jalen Hurts was going to get traded. Yes, expectations going to arise. Expectations is going to be different than last year based off the personnel, but this is year one with this type of personnel. And to say that he needs a playoff win to come back, I think that's completely false. Because if you look at, you know, the college quarterback coming out, yes, the crop is better, but you still got to evaluate, are they going to be better than Jalen Hurts moving forward? And, you know, and like I said, it's a draft pick, so it's up for grabs. I think Jalen Hurts could be better. In the scenario that he used with Josh Allen, that's just one scenario. There are teams that win playoff games that QBs outdo the other QB, but they still lose. So it is a team effort. And if you play the game of football, you know it's 11. You know it's 11 players on the field for a reason.
Know, players on the field, and you're right that you can come up with scenarios where they lose a playoff game and they stick with Jalen. I'm just saying, when you look at the skill positions players they have on offense, the schedule
for one year. This is the first year they had this.
Okay, but last year was his first year as a starter. This year it's his first year. And so, like, sooner or later, like, he's going to have to win to hold on to the job. That's
so nobody never
do.
Said that and he doesn't have
no,
to
but,
win.
But you, I know you didn't say that, but what I'm saying is you can't say this is an excuse of a year in terms of it's his first year with the guys.
I never said that this is an excuse.
Well, you did bring it up in a way that sounded like an excuse, but I apologize if you didn't mean it that way. But what I'm saying is the players around him are good enough, I believe, and I think, frankly, the defense is good enough where they are going to be a playoff team. And then, like, there's a reason that quarterbacks get $40 million a year. And whether we like it or not, look, this is just reality of the situation. There are probably – I think I saw one mock draft that had seven quarterbacks taken in next year's first round. The Eagles have two first-round picks. Jalen is in a contract year, essentially. Like, you're right. He could not win a playoff game and keep the job.
But one way
I know he'll have the job is if he wins a playoff game.
I don't mean to cut you off, but Malik Willis was supposed to be a top 10 pick. He was drafted in the third round. Yes, projections.
Well, but Malik Willis was only supposed to be a top 10 pick for like 2 months.
And
like,
also only because there's a super weak QB class this year. And ultimately, he didn't go in the top 10.
But
so
we heard
matter.
That he was going to go in the top 10 based off because.
But he didn't. Rasheem went in the third round.
It's a projection. No, best thing I'm trying to say is a projection to say that next year quarterback crop is better than this year.
You're right.
You're absolutely right.
And Rasheem, you're right. You're right, man. You're right. I agree with you. Like, look, Joe Burrow, no one ever heard of Joe Burrow at this time prior to his, you know, season at us.
Yeah, absolutely. But then this one I got to say, it's always the worst case scenario with Jalen Hurts as far as what would happen. James, you were trying to just do the opposite end of the spectrum as far as saying what could happen in the best case scenario. So many times I hear over and over again when people calling about Jalen Hurts, it's always the worst case scenario. Not enough people calling in basically, you know, saying, oh, this is what could happen. And when you're starting off a show with the worst case scenario, 95% of the callers are going to call in about worst case scenario. And unlike James is trying to be realistic, is this, you know, explain that this is a team effort. Yes, Jalen Hurts needs to be played better. I think we all know he needs to play better. But winning a playoff game, I don't think that's really depending on if he's going to come back next year, because they could have traded for a QB this year, in my opinion. Yes, they didn't want to, but they had the assets to trade for a QB that we know probably played better than Jalen Hurts. It was other QBs that was out there up for grabs.
No, Rasheem, and good call. And look, I there's a lot in there, obviously. Yeah. And look, I there's extremes and all that in terms of what could happen and how Hurts could or could not keep the job. And that quarterback class is a thing. There's a reason they traded for that extra pick next year. There's a reason they made that Saints trade. Like, they're hedging their bets. But honestly, all that really matters is if Jalen Hurts comes out this year and takes advantage of the situations that he's in, he has a real chance to be the franchise quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
But another aspect of this, too, and I think Rasheem made an interesting point about how people bring up worst-case scenarios a lot, right? Like, I think
that is an interesting point.
But, you know, we're talking about what we're talking about. So, well, like, the thing where he is at, though, is that he is, like, at the end of this year, if he plays well, he's going to want a new contract that's going to be extremely expensive. So, like, the Eagles, in a way, like, this is the year you have to make a decision on Jalen. So while you're right that they could take a big step forward this year and, you know, you could end the year feeling like, yeah, maybe Jalen is more the guy than I thought, there's a difference between us sitting here and saying, like, well, they didn't win a playoff game, but he was pretty good, and the Eagles having to cut a check for, like, $30 million. So I think one way to guarantee that check is coming is to go out and advance further than you did last year.
Let's go to Tennessee and talk to our pal Justin. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How you doing today?
What up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Got a real quick recipe for you guys, if you don't mind.
I can only imagine the phenomenal food you make, so let's hear it.
Well, this is simple and easy. I don't know if you guys like pickles, but I love pickles.
I absolutely love pickles. Big pickles guy.
Okay, so get you a jar of spear pickles.
All right.
And get a packet of the ranch dressing mix, the Hidden Valley Ranch dressing mix.
Oh, yeah,
pour just a little bit of juice out, and then dump that dressing mix in and shake it all up. Let it sit for a couple of days, shake it every now and then. My God, boys, it is so good. I just had two with my sandwich. Shoo, they're good, boys.
I can see that on the side of a sandwich being good. All right, I'm going to try that out. With a nice hoagie, I can see that.
Nice turkey sandwich, a little bit of Swiss and stuff. God, it's good, I'm telling you. But anyway, let's get down to
bird. I appreciate you bringing that out of complete left field. So I will. I appreciate the recipe.
Well, I was trying to hurry up and eat before y'all got to me, and I was like, I'm going to tell these boys about this pickle recipe, because dang it.
That's why you're one of the best Go Birds callers, Justin.
Well, I appreciate that, boys.
What do you got on the birds, Jess?
Did you guys hear the interview with N'Kobe Dean that Marks and Reese did the other day?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was super excited that we was able to get him in the third round.
Yeah.
I am beyond excited. I have no words for how happy I am that we have this kid now and how smart he is. I didn't know until I think maybe this morning I seen something on Twitter that he was an engineer. He's got a degree in engineering.
Well, I think he studied it. I don't know if he finished just because he came out early, if I'm not mistaken. But, Nick Sirianni said something about him this week that sounds so simple, but I think is, like, such a massive upgrade from what they've had. He's like, N'Kobe's just where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. Right? And, like, I think
it's that. Remember, like, oh, he lines up right. Like, one of the, like, Mac Hollins, when it was like, oh, he lines up right. It was
not to compare those two
players. No. I'm just joking about where we've been, is my point.
And as a rookie to already be there, I think it's incredibly impressive. You're right. He's incredibly intelligent.
And that's something else, because you're right. We do have playoff experience now with this young group. And we also got two guys with basically college football playoff experience. Davis and N'Kobe Dean, they don't know what it's like to lose. These guys come from a winning program, okay? Tennessee, they've not been much in 10, 15 years. They've not. They've had ups and downs, but it's not like it was when Peyton Manning was there. It's not.
Yeah,
they come from a winning program in Georgia that played for two national championships in the last, 4 years or something like that. They lost Alabama, then they beat Alabama. So those guys know what it takes to win. And I love that they've took them. And we've preached and preached SEC, SEC.
Yeah,
so, I
buddy.
Mean,
they're doing Justin.
Yeah, they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I am the best, Justin.
Okay, one quick thing about Hurts. There are stipulations, Elliot, to where they could bring him back if they lose a playoff game. There's just if this guy goes off and has a great year, like James said, they go 13-4 or something like that, and they lose that first playoff game. Well, what if God forbid something happens and he gets a concussion 11 plays in, like Carson did? So I mean, there's just way too many things that factor into it, but. I've said a whole lot. The best thing for us would be if he works out, and I hope and pray he does.
Agreed, Justin. All right, we're up again, so we got to go, pal.
I love y'all, boys. I'm going to get out. See you.
You're the best, Justin. We'll talk to you next week. 215-592-9494. We'll get more into that coming up as well. I do think that Hurts point is interesting. 215-592-9494. What are your expectations for the Eagles after the draft? It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. Let me remind you about the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It has you covered for betting on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and so much more, whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And with an amazing offer, new customers make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just download the all-new BetParks app right now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com. It's the only sportsbook and casino app that we here at Go Birds recommend. The BetParks Casino and Sportsbook app, where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony right in your pocket. A sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app with live in-game betting. Bet more than the scores. You can bet on individual player performances. Check out the BetParks future bets and wager on projected league champions, MVPs, rookie of the year, division champs, and more than anything. We're going to watch these games anyway. It's just more fun to have some action on it. And again, here's the deal. New customers, you get your first bet risk-free up to $750. The website has all the details. Visit pa.betparks.com. That's pa.betparks.com. And use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's G-O-B-I-R-D-S. Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's go time. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We are at the beautiful Sportsbook at Parks Casino. Big day here. It is Kentucky Derby Day. The racetrack and casino here at Parks are electric today with the big Kentucky Derby party at the track. And the Sportsbook inside the casino is teeming with energy, of course. Big sports day, a lot to bet on. And the racetrack right here or the Malvern Race Sportsbook inside Chickies and Pete's are perfect places to wager on the Kentucky Derby today and watch the big race. 215-592-9494. We're talking about expectations for the Eagles today and also Jalen Hurts' expectations in there as well. And a lot of pushback to Elliott Shore Park saying he has to win a playoff game. I do agree with the premise of what you're saying, that him winning a playoff game is the one thing that is a absolute lock that he will be back.
He will be back if they win a playoff game.
But I do think that you can't say he has to win one in order to be back, because there's, as many people point out, so many ways this can shake out where he's great and they don't win.
If they don't make a playoff, if they don't make the playoffs this past year, is he back? Like, or do you think they lower the bar for the quarterback they're willing to acquire?
I don't think they would have lowered the bar for the quarterback they were willing to acquire.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
I think they would have.
I think that they want to find someone who can be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and I don't think that they're going to just say, "All right, we'll take Kirk Cousins because he's better."
But I think it's about taking a flyer on somebody else. Ultimately,
I don't know.
Point.
Well, let's get to the Carson Strong thing, because Tom from Vancouver asked that. What are your thoughts on Strong? Someone who was expected to, you know, in the pre-draft process, you know, second, third round, we were hearing all that. And then the knees thing comes out. Clearly, the reason he fell out of the draft was the knees issue. Yeah. Where are you at on Carson Strong as a backup? And look, he's an undrafted free agent.
Well, like, yeah,
you
know, so, yeah.
People should not be talking about him as any sort of real competition, Jalen Hurts. But I do think an interesting arm to take a shot on as a backup guy.
Yeah, let me start by saying this, just to be crystal clear for everybody. I do not believe Carson Strong is competition for Jalen Hurts.
He is a backup quarterback.
Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Carson Strong.
By a lot.
Okay, now that we have that off the table, I like Carson Strong as an undrafted free agent. He does have one of the strongest arms in the draft.
Oh,
I mean, Malik Willis has a stronger arm, but what makes his arm special is the throws he can make off schedule, like on the move. But just from the pocket, like, Carson Strong's arm is, I think, pretty much just as strong as Malik Willis's. So he does bring that. He's a guy that was viewed as, you know, a first-round talent was probably a stretch. Obviously, he went undrafted. But he was viewed, when people were talking about this crop of quarterbacks, as being, like, the fourth, fifth type of guy. He played last year with knee injuries. I believe he tore his ACL. I think he's had multiple knee injuries and has like a degenerative type knee thing going on. But part of the reason he struggled last year is because he did play through an injury, because he decided to do that. And I think that he deserves some credit for that. So for me, Carson Strong is somebody that could develop into like a Gardner Minshew type of guy. Someone that in 2023, the Eagles say, we feel confident with this guy as our backup.
We can trade Minshew and keep this guy as our backup.
I don't think he's somebody you want starting three or four games in a row because of his health. But I think for one game, if he had to play, Carson Strong has some special qualities where it wouldn't be like a complete disaster as like some of these backups we've seen.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand your expectations for the Eagles and for Jalen Hurts this season? 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to North Jersey and talk to our buddy Neil. Yo, Neil.
Gentlemen, thanks as always for taking my call. Long time no speak. Seltzer, always a pleasure to speak with you. You too, Elliot.
It's been a while. Good to hear from you, Neil.
It's been a while. Thanks for taking my call. Couple things. So, I thought the draft was solid, B+. I like the picks in reverse order. I think Jerkins was a smart, unsexy pick that helped, you know, build a roster. N'Kobe Dean can be the biggest steal of the draft if he comes who we think. I think Jordan Davis is the key, though. And I actually think this year is the perfect spot for, I'm sorry, situation for Jordan Davis, because in college, he only played about 30, 35 snaps a game. And now he'll be in a rotation with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, where, you know, he can be a rotation amongst other D tackles. And you can kind of see what you have in that situation. The only thing I have a problem going forward is he a three-down defensive tackle and the heir apparent to Fletcher Cox? He's not going to be – Fletcher Cox will not be here next year. We know that. So Jordan Davis has to show the ability to be a three-down lineman in the NFL. If he does, it's going to it's going to make our defense even better. If not, he becomes a rotational player, and then maybe in next year's draft or even with free agency, you're going to have to address a position you might not you thought had to address. That's first thought.
Yeah, so Neil, earlier in the week, Howie was on, I think it was with Angelo, and he said that one of the main questions he had for his scouting staff was, tell me why Jordan Davis isn't just a first and second down player. So I think you're right to say that's where he has to be special, and it's a projection of whether or not he can do it, but that will decide if it's a successful pick, if he's on the field on third downs making an impact.
Correct, and there's no doubt that, you know, on first and second down, he will be a pretty darn good run stuffer. I mean, the guy can, he's a phenomenal athlete.
His floor is high.
Yeah, he's already that. What's your other point, Neil?
My expectations this year, I think they need to win the NFC East. I think they can win the NFC East. The only relevant question this year is, can Jalen Hurts develop as a pocket thrower? Period, end of sentence. Everything
just thrower,
else
period. I don't think you have to say it as a pocket thrower. I mean, he just has to be a better thrower. You could throw on the move. You could throw outside the numbers and still be a successful quarterback in the NFL, but he needs to be better. He needs to be better, period.
The accuracy, the timing on the routes, the things that you expect from guys.
Jalen Hurts is never going to be a sit in the pocket and dissect teams quarterback. Like, that's not his skill
set. I wouldn't say never.
No, I mean, like, he can do it at times, but that is never going to be – Jalen Hurts is never going to be Tom Brady because he's physically gifted. He doesn't need to be Tom Brady. He has other things that he could do that are at his disposal. He's never going to – he's also shorter. Like, he's not built for that role.
One thing I think about, and it's because you've said this, like, there's a reason Tom Brady has seen everything. It's because he's seen everything.
Oh,
right?
That stuff matters, too. So, I'm just talking about – I mean, honestly, the height alone makes him someone who is not really built to be a stand in the pocket and pick people apart. Like Drew Brees is really the only guy that size
who's
been able to do that.
You're right. I agree it's not where he's his best, but I just wouldn't say never. Like, I think if he sticks around long enough and he continues to start, there's no reason in year 6 or 7 he couldn't be someone that dissects defenses.
Great call. No, and I'm not saying he can't dissect defenses. He said a pocket passer. Like,
correct, yeah. Sitting in the pocket, dissecting defenses.
I don't think that is what Jalen Hurts, like the best version of Jalen Hurts is. Honestly, because of the height as much as anything. Like,
the height's part of it.
That is part of it, you know? And also, he has so much physical ability, it would be silly not to utilize it.
I agree with that. But ultimately, there will be a day, as there is with all players, where that physical ability to run diminishes.
Oh, he has to
If he's still starting, I think he could be someone that sits in the pocket.
He'll still be mobile, though. Yeah. Donovan McNabb was not, you know, Donovan McNabb was also taller and
bigger.
Anyway, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Ridley and talk to Matt. Yo, pal.
Yo, boys, what's up today?
What up, Matt? How you doing?
Good. Hey, listen. Elliot.
Matt.
You're not right. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. You're the first person to ever tell that to me, too, which is funny.
And the funny thing is, this argument doesn't even sound like you, though.
I don't know. I think it sounds like me. I said last year he had to make the playoffs to keep his job, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, and I said, I'm not being biased. I mean, Jimmy's awesome. I'm not saying it's because he is, but he's 100% right. You have to see how the game unfolds if they make the playoffs, how he plays.
Let me say this to both of you guys, okay?
Yeah,
so let's say he has this year where you're saying you feel so awesome about him, and, he's whatever, Josh Allen, all those things. And then they lose the playoff game.
But again, it's how do they lose the
playoff
game?
I know, I get that. But you guys,
what if they lose because Tom Brady throws for 450 and Hurts throws for 350 and they lose? Like,
well, then if that happens, we'll discuss it then. But what I'm saying is, overall, on a macro scale, right? Drink, our word there. that if he's really good this year, chances are they're going to win a playoff game. So I don't think it's that crazy to say, yes, there is a world where he could be awesome both in the regular season and in a playoff game and they could lose. I just think the chances of that are small.
Okay, let me flip it around. What if they make the playoffs, they win, but he plays bad, but they win like 14-10, like it's a defensive battle. Do you re-sign him then, but he plays bad, but they win?
Well,
that's a great way to spin
I would feel a
that.
Lot better about it then than I would sign
him. What if he's horrible? What if it's like he plays just as bad as he did in the Tampa game, but they're playing, I don't know, like
what if he's
Kyler
awesome
Murray and
Jake
Kyler
Murray misses
just
a
as bad?
Or the phone, like, no, we could come up with a billion scenarios.
But no, but that specific scenario, let's say they win
it's
a playoff
so
game, but Jalen Hurts is awful in it. And they have two returns for a touchdown. It's just a weird game, but Hurts is awful. Then what?
Well, and they won the playoff game.
But
well, then
Hurts
I guess we'll
awful.
See how he plays. Then he has another game to see how he plays then.
Wait,
if he's awful again.
Right,
but you just said if he wins a playoff game, he's locked in. Like, what if?
Yes, but again, what I've said also.
We're just pointing out why you can't make these grandiose statements.
No, but you're actually making my point, which
no,
is you can't just come up with a scenario.
Elliot, can we all agree on this? Let's wait and see how the season plays out before we make these.
Why don't we not talk about the team until when? January? When do you think the first playoff?
You could say that, but you say them in such definitive statements.
Like, right,
has to win a playoff game to keep his job next year. It's such a definitive statement
that
it sounds silly.
Right, but I believe
But we're telling you like 10 different things that could happen where you might change your mind on that.
But I still think you guys are coming up with like very specific, like what are the chances of the specific example you're talking about.
We gave you like five different examples.
And there's a billion ways that games could play out. I'm saying if the team is as good as they should be and he's as good as he can be, they should win a playoff game. And if they do, he'll keep the job. Like ultimately, Jalen has to improve upon last year. And improving upon last year is winning a playoff
game. That's different from them winning a playoff game. If he significantly improves, then you can re-sign. If he significantly improves and he doesn't win a playoff game because the whole team stunk, that doesn't mean he didn't get better, and then you should re-sign him.
If the whole team stinks and he's the only one that's improved, I will put my hand up and say I was wrong. I'm saying the chances of him improving and the team improving and them not winning a playoff game are slim.
No, because it's one day, man.
Elliot,
it's one game.
They were in the playoffs last year.
And football's about matchups. Like, what if it's just a horrible matchup for them? Like,
okay,
Matt, great call, man.
They were in the playoffs last year. Like, it's about advancing. It's about taking steps forward.
Elliot, of course it is. In a perfect world, yes, but you're making these statements like they are unassailable. This has to happen for this to happen, and that is just wrong. Like, it is not truth.
But I've also acknowledged that, yes, there are specific examples where it could happen. Obviously, I'm not saying if they lose a playoff game, under no scenario should they be back.
But there are multiple different examples that we pointed out. Like, what if they're a great regular season team? What if they score a bunch of points in a playoff game and lose? What if his defense lets him down? What if he plays perfectly and guys drop balls? Like, there are a million different things.
So let's use your Lamar Jackson example that you brought up, right? Lamar Jackson has been arguably, I mean, last year, clearly, he did not have a good year. But one of the best regular season quarterbacks in the NFL over the last years. Would you agree with that statement?
Say top 10.
Yeah, probably a little higher.
He had one great year.
Right.
Right, but otherwise he's been
But do you agree that him losing in the playoffs has put a damper on how people view him?
I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson on the whole. I'm using it could be any quarterback. A quarterback goes 14-2 and then loses they get a bye and he loses in the second round of the playoffs. Are you out on that quarterback? It's not Lamar Jackson. It's that scenario. I'm saying the Eagles could be a dominant regular season team, go 15-2, go to the playoffs, and lose, and then you're not going to say get rid of Jalen Hurts.
Yes,
I'm just saying there's so many examples of things that can happen.
You have come up with some examples where I acknowledge
many examples.
But I could also come up with
a normal playoff team where Jalen plays awesome in a playoff game and Brady outduels him or Rodgers outduels him or whatever.
But I think it's easy for you to say that now because look at just last year. We both would have said before the year if Jalen made the playoffs that we would have been like, what a home run of a year. He should be the guy. What happened? He made the playoffs. They lost the playoff game and both of us soured on Jalen for a few weeks, right? We both were sitting here and saying,
which should show you that your point is wrong. You can't say something before the season as a definitive thing.
No. What it does is
if it plays out a different way, your opinion can change.
What I'm saying is the fact that what happens
you're making
the,
my
no, no,
point
no, I'm not.
Here.
I'm making my point. What happens in the playoffs really, really matters. It really matters. So you're right. Jalen could have an awesome year. They could be 14-2. All these things. If he's bad and like they don't win in the playoffs, then that is what's going to shape the opinion of him. Fair or not, that is what is going to
do it. Again, they can be he can be good and they can lose in the playoffs. He
could. You're right.
Right. Yes, of course.
Right.
That's been the main point from the beginning.
I just think most of the times, outside of your Josh Allen example.
Again, then you
How many times would you say a quarterback – whatever. We can – go ahead.
How many times have quarterbacks played well and lost a playoff game?
Yes, it happened. You're
hundreds.
Right. It happened. You're right. But I'm saying if Jalen has a good playoff game, I like their chances of winning.
Let's go to Florida and talk to our pal Ja'Cory. What up, Ja'Cory?
What's going on, guys?
What up, Ja'Cory? How you doing?
Good, man. I like this conversation. So, earlier you guys were talking about the schedule. I think the schedule is going to be more harder this year. I know, like, the division games, I think we'll split with Washington because I think they're a little bit better than we think. That Minnesota game, nobody's talking about that Minnesota game, man. I think that's going to be a scary game for us, especially on defense. Like, they have potentially 2 to 3 wide receivers, and we don't have a corner or another safety to help us in the passing game.
Well, still got some time, yeah. And for some reason, Elliot made this point on pod, but Minnesota here just doesn't seem to scare me that much, Minnesota in Philly. And also, I think it's more just that until this upcoming Thursday, I can't believe it's Thursday, but until we really know the order of the games and, like, there'll be, like, if it's the third road game in a row or this, that, like, there are games that we think will be easy or hard that could end up going the other way. So it's hard to specifically pick out the games right now.
Right. And also on the Hurts thing too, it's like, okay, so I'm giving Jalen Hurts 8 games to see where he's at, and if he looks the same, I think we are gonna move off him.
Did you say 8 games, Ja'Cory?
Yeah, Ja'Cory is not a Jalen guy.
Because I think it's gonna show where he's at. Is he improved? Because I think we're not going to be a running team. I think this team is going to be 70% pass, 30% run. Because you can't run the ball.
I think that's what they would want to be, yeah.
I don't think they're going to be that. That's
extreme. You got A.J. Brown, you have Devontae Smith.
Yeah, but that's extreme. 70-30 would be extreme for this team.
I know, but it's going to be like that, too.
I don't think it may be, but it maybe shouldn't.
That's aggressive.
But it might,
I think maybe 60-40.
But it shouldn't be extreme for a team that has Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, a great offensive line.
Well, that's still too much anyway. Like, have some balance to your offense. We saw last year how important, and Ja'Cory, good call, we saw how important running the football is. Like, let's not shirk that.
It's
like,
important, yeah, and we can debate the percentages.
And we're damn good at it from an offensive
team. Yeah, for sure.
And to the Hurts point, like, certainly, especially in the early years, while, you know, we saw with Donovan and many other quarterbacks like that where, you know, as they go on, they're less agile, less able to run like that, like, take advantage of Hurts' legs, and I mean, he's elite at that. Like, take advantage of it while you have it.
I don't disagree with any of that, and they are an elite running team.
Well, protecting him, obviously. You don't want to, you know, get
but I do think, though, and you're not saying this, so we're not even really fighting about this, but, like, a team that has Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and that offensive line, like, they should be a team that can win throwing the ball.
Of
like,
course.
With that
you
talent,
should be able to go both, but 70-30 is extreme.
70-30 is extreme, but I think, like, the Eagles want their strength to be throwing the ball. They don't want to run it like they did last year.
Let's go to Glenside and talk to our pal Matt. Hey, Matty.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What up, Matt?
Hey. I have all the faith in the world in Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Who I do not have faith in is Jonathan Gannon.
Interesting. Why?
I think he's the one. He's the one who has something to prove this year.
Yeah, I mean, agree. It's something to prove. I think they all do. You're right that he has more talent this year. I think that when they go up against the elite quarterbacks, certainly he has something to prove in that regard. I mean, he did almost get a head coaching job, so you know he's thought of highly around the league. But you're right that when they play the few elite quarterbacks that are on the roster, there'll be pressure on him.
Yeah, I don't know why they're interviewing him for head coaching positions, but.
It is strange, man. It is strange how highly. And look, maybe this year he comes out and has more talent, and we're all like, we were wrong. You'll go
well,
get
the
him.
Defense wasn't bad.
But
last
I just,
year.
I've not been impressed, Matthew. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing that Seth Joyner constantly said, you know, after almost every Eagle game, was just like, these linebackers aren't good enough. And they went out and got him 4 great linebackers.
Yeah, and it seems like the moves they made too, Matt, from the Reddick move to the Jordan Davis draft pick, like they all seem like scheme-specific moves, moves that they made because of the type of defense they want to run with Jonathan Gannon. And if you're making moves like that, then you know what? That puts more pressure on the defensive coordinator because he's got his guys.
Yeah, Yes. And clearly everyone's going to blame him the second the defense goes bad. So obviously from that regard, he's in under a ton of pressure.
Yeah. Also, a couple other players I wanted to point out. I think, first off, Andre Dillard appears to be in, like, the best shape of his life. This guy.
Yeah, I saw those pictures, yeah.
Yeah, he gained, like, 15 pounds of muscle or something like that. He looks massive.
Yeah.
And lastly, I'm sick and tired of Elliott's Twitter shade to Zach Pascal. Zach Pascal will have a better year than Quezlaff.
Whoa! Well, first of all, if we're talking Twitter, I would love that tweet, by the way. I think that'd be an amazing tweet. But, no, look, Zach Pascal, I also think, is better set up now with A.J. Brown here because he goes from being the guy that, in theory, might be the number two receiver in some ways to somebody that you probably feel pretty good about being as a number four receiver. So Zach Pascal is a fine signing, but up until the A.J. Brown thing, my frustration with it was, like, that's the move.
Yeah.
That's the passing
I think when he's your fourth receiver,
move.
It's a lot better than if he's getting – and Matt, good call, man, as always. What were you going to say?
I really do think that he's an underrated red zone threat, and I think he's going to be a big target when we finally get into the red zone.
Matt, good call. And, look, he might be – and, look, he is a red zone threat. I mean, the number of touchdowns compared to – you know, catches.
He has a fair amount of touchdowns.
Yeah, like, it's surprising. Like, he's clearly someone who can, you know, be in a mismatch, you know, with the size and all that in that part of the field.
You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Is he the best number four receiver in the league?
Oh, stop.
There it is. No. There it is. I'm all the way back around. There it is. And he's got my number now, by the way, too.
So,
I've been begging for players all year to take number three. And of course, Zach Pascal ends up in it. So
215-592-9494. Where are you at on the Eagles right now? Jalen Hurts. What kind of season does he have to like lock himself in for 2023? A lot on the table. 215-592-9494. Plus, some news from the Phillies today. Rained out again tonight. Not surprising if you've been outside. Not surprising at all. I'm surprised that they hadn't done it yet. Doubleheader tomorrow. So a lot of baseball coming tomorrow. Should clear up tomorrow. So Rob Ellis coming your way next. Robbie E. Hustling into
it's
the studio to do
More
the show.
Rob
Ellis. It's a win for everybody.
Exactly.
You know? And you get the Phillies game tomorrow. So it all works out. 215-592-9494. But we are still here for another 40 minutes talking birds with you. So get on the line now. 215-592-9494. Coming from the beautiful Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And let me tell you about the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It has you covered. We're betting on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and so much more, whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And with an amazing offer, new customers can make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just download the all-new Bet Parks app right now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com. It is the only sportsbook and casino app that we here at Go Birds recommend, the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony right in your pocket. Sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app with live in-game betting. Bet on more than just the score. You can bet on individual player performances. You can bet on check out the Bet Parks future bets. Wager on projected league champions, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Division Champs, and more. And again, we're watching all this stuff anyway. We're sports fans. It's playoff action, all this stuff. We're watching it. It's way more fun when you got a little action on it. You just care a little bit more. And here's the deal again. New customers get their first bet risk-free up to $750. The website has all the details. Visit pa.betparks.com. That's pa.betparks.com. And use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS. Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's go time. It's Go Birds Radio. Live from the beautiful Sportsbook at Parks Casino. Big day here as the Kentucky Derby is happening tonight. The racetrack and casino here at Parks are electric today with the big Kentucky Derby party at the track. And the Sportsbook inside the casino is teeming with energy for the big sports day. And, of course, the Kentucky Derby, the peak of that. The racetrack right here or the Malvern Race and Sportsbook inside Chickies are perfect places to wager on the Kentucky Derby today and to watch the big race. 215-592-9494. Elliot, sometimes I'll look over at Elliot and I'll see that look like I got something to say.
Yeah,
two
questions.
So the floor is yours, sir.
One, do you think you could not win, but do you think you could make it around the track staying on the horse at the Kentucky Derby? You not win, but it's going fast.
Probably
like, it's
not
just trotting.
I don't think I could stay on.
You don't think you could stay on?
I mean, maybe I could. If I hold on for dear life and close my eyes and the horse knows where to go, like,
well,
sure,
how else
I could probably
hold on.
I could probably
kind of
hold on,
life?
But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I mean, they go pretty fast, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I think I could probably hold on.
You
yes.
hold on?
I think
All
I could
right.
probably hold on.
But you don't think you could win?
Of course not.
So you think you could stay on the horse, but you don't think you would win?
Maybe stay on the horse. Maybe.
All right.
You think you could win the Kentucky Derby?
No, no. I mean, if the horse was good enough.
So you think if you had, let's say you just had the best horse, you think you could get on a horse and win the Kentucky
I think
Derby?
With no practice,
you just hop on and win the Kentucky Derby.
I think if I had, like, far and away the best horse and the horse didn't blow it, I could win the Kentucky
Derby.
Oh,
my God. Because
at that point, I'm just sitting on it.
Absurd. You're just sitting in a fantasy world.
But you're saying if I had the best horse. That's a key part of this. I'm not diminishing the jockey's role, but if I have the best horse by far, here's my second question. What would you name your horse?
That's a good question.
I'd name mine Franchise Swag.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
That sounds bad. I would name him Go Birds. How about that?
There it is. Yours would be Dallas Sox.
I was just about to say, Go Birds or Dallas Sox.
You would definitely name it Dallas
Sox. I really would. In a second.
Goes Dallas Sox holding on for dear life.
Yeah. Dallas Sucks has done it!
Yeah, there it is. That'd be your ultimate happy moment in life.
It really would. By the way, actually, I'm happy you brought that up because, you know what? I know that people hate Dallas as much as I do, so I'm just going to throw a couple quick ones at you. Have you seen Warren Sharp has just decided to, like, take
I like that you
Dallas
have this
on...
screenshotted on your
oh, yeah,
phone or something.
Screenshots.
Yeah, you've been holding this.
I've been holding this. Okay, so I got to get to it.
This is very Joe DeCamera of you,
It is. It's a screenshot of a tweet that I saved. Now I have to find it. Now it's
You're
not
really
popping
blowing
up.
This.
This is a bad job by me.
And I don't think you could stay on the horse. Never mind. You can't even find a screenshot.
I can find a screenshot. I'll get to it. How many screenshots have I taken since then?
Apparently a lot.
Now, I think I don't. All right. I will find this. This is a horrible job by me.
So it's about Dallas.
Oh, it is about Dallas. All right. I'll find it. Hold on. We're going to take a call, and then I'm going to give you an awesome little tweet about Dallas. Let's go to the Northeast and talk to Mike. Michael.
ESP, Jimmy, how you doing? Mike Bougie from Broad Street South. How you guys doing?
Oh, Mike, up, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I know. It's been a while.
ESP, I know. Good to hear
good
from
seeing you.
You
last week.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. It was you. Good to hear your voice, my friend.
Thank you. I was calling today to ask you guys about the safety and the corner position. Do you see the Eagles going with Marcus Epps playing opposite of Anthony Harris and also... Would you guys say is McPherson right now the favorite to play opposite of Darius Slay?
Yeah, I think right now with the way the roster is constructed, that's what they would do. If they had to play a game today, you would see Marcus Epps and Anthony Harris. By the way, Marcus Epps played way more snaps than I knew he was obviously playing last year, but he ended up playing, I think, almost like 60% of the snaps on defense. So he did play quite a bit. Zach McPherson, I think, is the favorite right now to win that job. Ultimately, though, I think week one, whoever they do play, I'd be very surprised if it's Zach McPherson, Anthony Harris, and Marcus Epps. I think they will go out and make a move with, like, for a guy that's going to be the starter.
As far as, like, bringing in Zaire White and Hassan Reddick, do you guys see the Eagles maybe going to a 3-4 defense?
Mike, great question. Great to talk to you, brother. Great call. We'll answer that question. Elliot, it seems like they're going to be doing a lot of 3-4 type stuff.
Yeah,
multiples, as Gannon says.
Yeah, Brandon Graham kind of acknowledged it this week when he was on with the
Giglio,
yeah.
In for the morning show.
Talking about how, you know, it seems like they're going to be more of a 34 defense. And I think with Jordan Davis, you see that. With Hassan Reddick, to a certain way, you see that. So they want to have the personnel.
Yeah.
But what is good is they also do have 4-3 personnel. Like they can do both.
Well, that's
and I think it was you that told me this, how Richie talks about how hard it is when you're preparing for a team not knowing if they're a 3-4 or a 4-3.
Well, what Richie said is when you're in offense preparing for a 4-3 and a 3-4, you have completely different assignments for each defense. So your role against a 4-3 is completely different than it is for a 3-4. So if you're playing a team that does both things, you essentially have to learn two roles for offense that week or know two different things. And it can get confusing when you're out there, especially if the disguising is good.
So it sounds like if your team's defensive coordinator was doing that, that'd be a defensive coordinator you'd be happy
about. Well, let's
about.
See him do it, all right? Let's see him pull it off. All right, you know what's funny, by the way? And this is, you want to talk about like me being Joe DeCamera. So the reason I didn't find them was because I liked them instead of taking screenshots of them and didn't think to check my likes. I checked my screenshots.
You and Twitter, not a good combination.
I was not born for Twitter. All right, two fun little Cowboys facts. And it's known, but I like the way Warren Sharp put him in. And Warren Sharp's just been, like, taking down Dallas. It's been great. All right, so here's one. In the last 25 years, the Dallas Cowboys have won a grand total of 3 playoff games. Only 3 franchises have won fewer. In the last 25 years, 26 different NFL franchises have made conference championships. The Dallas Cowboys are one of six teams to not make a conference championship.
America's team.
How great is that? And then how about this one? I mean, we all know what a dumpster fire of a franchise the Houston Texans are.
The joy on your face while you're reading
these.
I love it.
The Houston Texans, all-time dumpster fire franchise, right? You ready for this? Texas teams since 2010. So this is 12 years.
Right.
Texas teams.
Not a short time.
Winning seasons. Dallas 5, Houston 7.
Wow, that is very surprising.
Trips to the playoffs. Dallas 4, Houston 6. Playoff wins. Dallas 2, Houston 4. So in the last 12 years, the Houston Texans have had considerably more overall success than the Dallas stinking Cowboys.
Look how happy.
I mean, right? Yeah.
That is pretty amazing.
It's good stuff, right?
I mean, I guess the Matt Schaub years were good to the Texans, but outside of that.
Well, Deshaun Watson won a playoff game.
That's right, Deshaun Watson.
So like that, but still, I mean, it's pretty nuts when you hear it.
They're
like
not even the best team in Texas.
Yes. Pretty great. And
so that's what you'd name your horse, Dallas Sucks.
215-592-9494. My buddy Dan in Philly. What up, Dan?
What's up, boys? How are we?
Nice to talk to you on the weekend, man. What's up?
I know. Working on this rainy day.
I love it. What a treat. Hey, how you doing, pal?
Hey, ESP, you know what else is Joe DeCamerish? That you think you can ride a horse and win a Kentucky Derby.
Thank you.
Can you do
Dan.
The luge in the USA?
So I actually agree with the camera about that.
You're crazy.
All you're doing is laying down.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
See, Dan, this is what I put up with. This is what I
do.
You think
you can do the luge?
I didn't say I could win.
You would die.
You might die. I might. I could also.
You have a better chance of
maybe
dying
doing
in the luge
than
winning the luge, for sure.
Well, it depends on who I'm going against. It does. It depends who I'm going against.
And this is why you think Jonathan Gannon's a good defensive coordinator.
Well, no, so, I think that because I saw the team last year.
All that aside, what do you think he does different this year with these players? Do you think he goes more pressure to take the ease off the cornerbacks? Because he never really gave the cornerbacks help. I thought his defense was his grand scheme of his defense is to pressure the quarterback with the front so the cornerbacks have less pressure on them. I just don't think he had the players last year.
Well, so last year I think he wanted to do a lot more 3-4, but early on, I don't know if all the defensive linemen were really behind that and listened to his players. And so, but I think that ideally, and I think this is with all defensive coordinators, he wants to get pressure with his front 4 or 3, you know, whatever. He wants to get organic pressure. And I think a lot of defensive coordinators' success lives and dies with the line's ability to do that. So if you look at the best defenses in the league, they're really not blitz-heavy teams. They're teams that get pressure organically. I think that he would like to obviously create more pressure this year. I think he will see more multiple fronts because to what James just said, it's extremely confusing for offenses. But bottom line, I think he, as of now, he has better personnel. I also thought Eric Wilson was a good signing, so we'll find out and see. But I do think he has better personnel, certainly, than he did last year, and that ups the pressure on him to get more creative in the back, you know, in the secondary, because that front should be able to create more pressure.
So how does he use N'Kobe Dean, in coverage or for pressure?
So N'Kobe Dean talked this week, and he said he's starting at inside linebacker. I do think you'll see him blitz quite a bit. Him in coverage is an interesting question because, and I'm big on N'Kobe Dean, don't get me wrong.
He's fast enough.
He is fast enough. He is a bit undersized. I would, you know, like it depends on who's he covering. I don't know if he's fast enough to cover running backs, and I don't know if he's big enough to cover tight end. So, you know, N'Kobe is one of those players where I won't count him out just because you saw what he did at Georgia. So I'm not going to say he can't do anything, but physically, just as a draft prospect, I would have some concerns about him in coverage.
So you think he's going to use him more towards the line for?
I think so. Yeah,
for tackle.
I do. Yep. Yeah.
Well, then I still think that leaves our secondary exposed. We just have Slay and a bunch of fill-ins.
Yeah, I mean they have to make a move in the secondary.
And Danny, great call. And look, we've always talked about like the best thing you can have for a secondary is a great pass rush. So like in reality, like if they can get to the quarterback more, that'll make everything look better. But again, all the talk of the second corner, the safety, and stuff like. I don't think that the second corner is on the team right now. Could it be Zach McPherson? Could they be way higher on him?
I don't think he's on the team.
I don't either. I mean, Zach McPherson will be on the team. You're saying you don't think the guy
will
be.
I mean, when's the last time at this point of the year the number two corner was on the team? Right?
I agree with you.
Like Ronald Darby.
Yeah, Steven Nelson.
All these guys they've added. So I agree. I think that they are going to make a move at corner.
Let's go to Pittsburgh and talk to Alan. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Elliot. So I could see it now. They give Joe like the greatest horse in the world, like a secretariat type horse, and he rides the horse and it comes in last place and he looks at the horse and he says, blow it!
Exactly right. That's what I'm saying. If we're going to give these horses credit, they should get credit in the some of the blame as well.
Yes.
They don't just get it for all the wins.
Yep. So this is what I deal with, Alan.
I want to give you my Jalen Hurts thoughts, but I also want to tell you why I think I just loved the way the first round played out for us.
All right.
So I think we'll know everything we need to know about Jalen Hurts at the end of the season. I'm not going to play the game of he's got to win a playoff game.
All right.
But here's what I need to see. Last year, he did not make the reads he needed to make. Calvin Watkins could have had double-digit touchdowns if he'd have just saw him breaking free and let loose of the ball. He's got 20 games on tape now, and I hope he spent the offseason looking at his own tape saying, that's where I fell short. That's where I messed up. I got to improve that. And he takes the next step.
I think he is spending the offseason doing that. He talked this week about saying that he feels like this offseason, it's a unique one for him, because if you look at his last two, 2 years ago he was coming out of the draft. This even last offseason was still somewhat COVID impacted, and there was some questions about whether he'd be the full-time starter. So this is an offseason where he's really able to have a year of footage of him in the NFL, knowing he's the guy moving forward, a regular offseason, and I think it is going to be beneficial for him.
Yep. So we'll know everything we need to know at the end of the year. He makes that next step, he may stay with the team. But
what
I want to tell
you
why I
love round, Alan. Yeah, go ahead.
So the two guys we got in the first round make everybody better around them. Jordan Davis makes the line better, but he keeps the linebackers clean. I love that pick, but I want to go to A.J. Brown. Was there a more perfect receiver for us to get and the price that we paid to get him? Like,
no.
Are you kidding me? Talking about Debo and all the picks we had to give up there.
Yeah, I like
we got a 24. We got a 24-year-old alpha dog. He is the alpha in the room. And he's the perfect complement to Devontae, because Devontae's the route runner, the short and intermediate. But A.J. Brown's the stretch the field, take the focus off that guy, and he's going to catch everything within his radius. Here's the last piece I'll say. When he played with Tennessee threw the ball the second least of any team in the NFL. So he's coming to a team that's been a run-first team. He's going to fit in nicely. Who's going to block better than A.J. Brown on a running play? I think they'll throw more than they did before. But I'm just saying, AJ, there's no better better wide receiver that they could have traded
Alan,
for
I agree.
Than AJ
I think,
Brown.
I think it was, and call again, great call. I think it was a perfect fit in every single way, especially the age, too. 215-592-9494. One more segment to go from the beautiful casino and sportsbook at Parks Casino here. We are coming right back. I tell you, it's James's Go Birds Radio. Final segment from Go Birds Radio from the beautiful Parks Casino and Sportsbook at the Sportsbook at Parks Casino here. It is Kentucky Derby Day. Come on out. Check it out. As the racetrack casino here at Parks are electric with the Kentucky Derby party at the track. And the Sportsbook inside the casino is teeming with all kinds of energy for the big race tonight. The racetrack right here or the Malvern Racetrack and Sportsbook inside Chickies are the perfect places to wager on and watch the Kentucky Derby today, as we literally just spent the whole break arguing with Elliot.
Yeah.
To hear my uncles here, we're all just yelling at Elliot, being like, you could not win the Kentucky Derby if you had a great
Again,
horse.
Like,
who cares?
I didn't say that I would have to have the best horse. I know. I said from the beginning,
even
I would
with
have
the
to have the
horse,
best horse.
You have no chance.
No chance.
We're back to home run territory.
Again,
all right?
The best horse would give me a huge advantage over the rest of the horses.
Are there any jockeys out there who want to call in and rip Elliot? 215-592-9494. What a treat. We get a little black gritty action in the last segment. What up? Oh, how you doing, pal?
What up, baby mama? How you doing out there in Liverpool flip flops?
Better now, man. Better now. What's up,
flip flops?
Let me tell you something. You always gonna be flip flops to me. I mean, you got a little good run in you now. You're feeling yourself. You out here doing your Howie.
For 4 weeks,
lap.
I ditched her. It's my bad. After defending him for a full year.
Yeah, no. Now you're out here pumping your chest, and you can ride horses and stuff like that. So you got My Little Pony in your bedroom. You out there, I know what's going on with you, brother. But Howie did a good job. Yeah, I mean, I get to call you last week and say, good job, Howie. He give me one more year like this, he get out of my doghouse. Right now, he's still in the perimeter. You know what I'm
another
saying?
Another year?
he give me one more draft because he parlayed these six. So he do the right thing with the pick next year, and we good. I'm back on Howie's season.
I like that. I think that's fair. One more great draft, and it's like, all right, we good.
Good. Because he sold half of them this year. He parlayed half of them the next year. So next year he give me a good run like this. Like, basically just pick winning team players. Like, just go with guys Everybody else thinks the consensus guys will be good. And
it does seem like the best strategy as a GM. Like, all the guys
Alabama
everybody wants.
And Georgia dudes. Like, yeah, that seems
smart. And
then
also you bring yourself – think about it. We haven't seen these guys play, and everyone's saying he's had a phenomenal draft, right? So, like, it's a safe strategy as a GM like, N'Kobe Dean, if he busts, no one's as mad as him as if Jalen
Yeah,
Rager
you're
did.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, we're in a good spot. And baby mama, I don't know how you letting this dude still be on the radio with you because Notre Man cheating on you. He out here in Sixers games. He about to be on the
Oh, I know. It's big journo over here, Mr.
I texted him last night. He has permission to say elite for Danny Green. Like, he's got to go game by game.
Carry the team.
He has to say tonight he was the elite shooter because last night he was an elite shooter.
He was unbelievable.
But at least we got some kind of joy coming back into Philadelphia. You know,
thank God. We needed that last night. I was talking to my wife last night. I was like, I can't tell you how much, like, for my own mental well-being, I needed this win tonight, man.
I'm like, thank God how we had a consensually good draft, right?
The Eagles are carrying us there for a week. It was like, couldn't get worse everywhere else. It was like, thank God for Howie. Who knew?
And Jalen's got the year to do what he got to do with his best buddy. I mean, he was there with A.J. Brown when he got drafted. Now they're together. People, let me tell you about my best friend. So go ahead and give me these CDs. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the pair. Excited about everything. I love you guys. Miss you guys so much. Flip flop, stay off the horse. Don't get hurt out here in these streets.
You're the best, man. Give me the best horse and watch what I do. That's all I'm saying.
Later, guys.
All right, the great Black Gritty. What a treat it is.
Always a treat.
Yeah, always fun. Speaking of treats, 215-592-9049. Another legend on the line. Up and down week though for the legend. Bit of a crazy phone call the one day on our show saying Jalen Hurts was better than Tom Brady. Now, he tried to, you know, backtrack it a little bit, but I'm still going to call him a legend. What up, OG Wade?
Hey, man. Hey, listen. Mr. Butterworth.
Mrs. Butterworth.
I gotta holler at Mr. Butterworth first.
All right,
how you doing, my brother?
What up, man? Well, I missed this call. I'm going to have to go back and listen. Jimmy's
head is a little big at times, so you got to ignore him. You know what I mean?
Me, Wade, me.
The one good thing about OG's takes, I always come out smelling like the rose.
I love that you just went third person on yourself. That is
because
strong.
I'm that dude that calls it out way before anything before it happens, and then he's like, "Damn, OG was right," and I'm telling you right now. Jalen Hurts is going to be a great player, and I do think he will be a better player than Tom Brady. Now,
Wade,
I want to ask you guys because I'm a little confused about this thing. Is what's the guy he's with the Browns now? The quarterback,
Deshaun Watson.
Is he a great player?
I think he's I think he's close.
Is he an elite player?
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty elite. He's
both of y'all tell me one thing. What the hell has he done to be great or elite? He's won one playoff game.
Like 5,000 yards.
Yeah, and he won a playoff game.
Right. So in other words, if Jalen Hurts wins a playoff game this year. We can stamp him elite and great.
Come on, Wade, come on.
Well, yeah, obviously, Jalen Hurts in playoff games, people view him differently.
Well, it's not just winning a playoff. Like, Deshaun Watson is super talented and, like, is a great football player. It's not just about the accomplishment of winning a playoff game. It's that the dude is super talented.
But to Wade's point, if Jalen Hurts goes for over 4,000 yards,
if he does what Deshaun Watson did, of course. But Deshaun Watson threw for 5,000 yards. Deshaun Watson won a national title at Clemson. Deshaun Watson is like a pedigree quarterback, man.
Right, and so is Jalen Hurts.
I like Hurts.
Did he win it?
When you say pedigree, that means he was raised to be a quarterback. That's him. And so all I'm telling y'all now.
I like Hurts, Wade. I'm in on Jalen Hurts. I believe in him. I think he's going to take a step forward this year. But, like, you go too far with this. You take this too far.
Listen to what I'm saying.
I feel like James is talking to me.
Here's why I say this, Jimmy. When you say I go too far, I'm doing it. Because I have vision, I know talent when I see it. I'm telling you, just be patient. He's going to be what I'm telling you. He's going to be. Now let me get to my point before you cut me off.
Go ahead.
Goodrich is our corner. Go back and watch some tape on this kid.
Yeah, I like Goodrich.
I like him too.
I'm telling you, we won't have to go out looking for no other corner. I'm telling you, this guy is going to be that guy. He's going to be the J.C. Jackson of the Philadelphia Eagles. I promise you that.
Is he the
So
they got Tom Brady,
today.
Tom Brady at quarterback, J.C. Jackson.
Undrafted J.C. Jackson. Wait, I like the bold proclamations, man. It's always a pleasure.
You see? Just hear me out.
It's
just
an honor
it.
To have you
just
call in during the weekend, my man.
Yeah, this is a treat, pal.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, man, I love you guys, man. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks, stay together. You, too, pal.
You know what I'm saying? Just stay together, man. Don't ever break up. Stay together.
Well, friendship wins.
Yeah,
as we've
friendship
discussed.
Wins. Exactly. Yeah. And we appreciate it.
I got to go back and listen to him explain why he thinks Jalen is better than, or is going to be better than Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Like, I mean, what could the reason?
Yeah, well, it was partially that he's a better athlete than Tom Brady was part of, like, the argument. Something like, yeah, sure, I guess. But, like, we're talking about
who's a better
quarterback and Tom's the best. You know,
he's won seven Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's unfair to even mention Jalen Hurts in his name.
More likely to happen. I win the Kentucky Derby. Jalen Hurts wins more Super
You're
Bowls
right.
than Tom Brady.
You win, okay. Without a doubt, it's you winning the Kentucky
Derby. Me winning the Kentucky Derby.
I also do the Goodrich point. Like, again, a bold statement. Just as
yeah, but
it's
not as crazy.
But it's not. Now, the J.C. Jackson part's a little crazy, but that he could be a starting corner. Like, I said it with everyone got excited about the UDFA class, and it's one of those things where it's like every year one of these guys ends up being something.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, like, 2/4 of the Philly special were undrafted guys. Like, Trey Burton was undrafted. Corey Clement was undrafted. So, you know,
you can
get guys who are valuable pieces of your team that way.
So, Andrew Booth was drafted higher than him, also Clemson corner. He's a better prospect, but a lot of people thought Goodrich was a better corner than Booth was last year.
So,
by the way, I've seen a few people walking by in big hats, and I just now connected.
The Derby. Look at
you. I was like, wow, why are people dressed up so fancy today?
And again, come on out, the Parks Casino Sportsbook, the racetrack. Come out, watch the Derby, bet on the Derby. You can do it at the Chickies in Malvern, the Parks Chickies in Malvern as well, to bet on and watch the Derby. Thank you to everyone who called in. We literally could not do this show without you. If you're on the line and we didn't get to, I apologize. Stay on the line. I'm sure Robbie E. will be talking some birds as well as other stuff as well. Thank you to Tahir Hood doing an awesome job down on site with us. Kyle Quinn crushing it back in the studio. And until next week, pal, we'll be back.
Yeah, well, I'll be at my bachelor party.
Oh, yeah, me and Fritz next week.
Yeah,
I'll
be at my bachelor party next week. Maybe I'll call in, depending, you know.
We'll see, yeah.
Where
I don't want you to worry about that. Have fun on your bachelor.
Okay.
We'll figure it all out. But either way, Go Birds will be on next week, and we'll have pods out all week, so check it out. For Elliot, I'm James, and let me tell you one more time about the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It has you covered for betting on golf, baseball, pro hoops, hockey, and so much more, whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And with an amazing offer, new customers make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just download the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app right now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com. It's the only sportsbook and casino app that we here at Go Birds recommend. The Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony right in your pocket. Sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app with live in-game betting. You can bet on more than just the score. You can bet on individual player performances. You can check out the Bet Parks future bets and wager on projected league champions, MVP, rookie of the year, division champs, and more. And like I always say, it's just so much more fun to watch these games and have some action on it. We're going to watch them anyway. We're sports fans. They're on. We're going to watch them. Throw a few bucks on it. You'll get that much more enjoyment out of it. And the best way to do it is with the Bet Parks app. New customers, again, here is the deal. New customers get your first bet risk-free up to $750. The website has all the details. Visit pa.betparks.com. That's pa.betparks.com. And use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS. Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's go time.